حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد The subject is Laylatul Qadr and we are trying to gain the ma'rifat and understanding of Laylatul Qadr so that when we will witness that night we can take advantage of this night, this opportunity that Allah has given us. Laylatul Qadr is like the field of mahshar. In mahshar, when people will be raised on the day of judgment, they will be brought together and they will be sitting in a field. Everyone standing in the field of mahshar, a place of gathering. Allah will gather the whole of humanity. And they will stand there before Allah. On one hand, they will see their past, and on the other hand, they will see their future. In regards to the past, there is worry and there is regret. A lot of regret. And in regards to future, there is anxiety and there is that hope or hopelessness. Laylatul Qadr is like mahshar. In this night, you are also standing before Allah. You are witnessing before Allah. On one hand, you have your past behind you. And on the other hand, you have your future in front of you. Your past is behind you, what you have done the whole year. And your future is ahead of you. The difference between mahshar and Laylatul Qadr are various. One of them is that in mahshar, there is no chance of return. When you are raised on the day of judgment, and when you stand in mahshar, regretting the past and you want to come back and redo the past and to relive your past, it cannot happen. There is no coming back from the day of judgment. There is no return from mahshar. But in Laylatul Qadr, the regret is there, but that chance is there for you to come back and rectify yourself. When you stand in Laylatul Qadr, what are you doing? You're thinking of your past, or what you have done, the wrongs you have done, just like in mahshar. Don't you think if you were given a second chance, you would do better? If Allah was to give you a second chance, in the hereafter, in Mahshar? Won't you think that you can do better when you come back to the earth? If you're given one more chance at it, one more life, here, take it. Let's see what you can do with it. Do you think that you can do better? Would you want another chance in Mahshar? Would you like another chance in Mahshar when you're raised in Yawm al-Hisab and your accounting has been done? Would you feel that you would like another chance that I can live my life again and I will rectify myself and I can make myself better? Do you think that you will do better if you get a second chance? Yes or no? Yes? Would you think you can do better if you were given a second chance?
Yes.
You would do better, right? My friends, when you stand in Laylatul Qadr, it's like you're standing in Mahshar. But the only difference is that in Laylatul Qadr, Allah is giving you another chance to go back and rectify yourself. Do islah to yourself. Make yourself better. You're standing in Laylatul Qadr, is like Mahshar. It is related to Mahshar. You're standing in Mahshar in Laylatul Qadr. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah says in the Quran, and He has explained it, in Hadith also we have it, that when people there will want to go back and will tell Allah, Allah, one more chance, give us one more chance. One more chance that we might be good. One more chance, Allah will say, no, there is no chance. There is no chance of going back. In Laylatul Qadr, He is giving you that chance that you can go back and you can change yourself. In Mahshar, if you have a wish in Mahshar, if you have a wish that you want to do something, that you want to rectify something, wishing or saying Ya Layta in Mahshar is useless. There is no wish that will be useful there. If you have a wish and say, Ya Laytani, oh how I wish I could go back, it's useless in Mahshar. But in Laylatul Qadr, if you have that regret and say, Ya Layta in Laylatul Qadr, Allah is saying, I'm giving you that chance now to go back and to change yourself. Imagine what Laylatul Qadr is. What kind of a place is Laylatul Qadr that Allah is giving you that chance that your wishes can be fulfilled? If you regret your past, if you regret what you did this past year, then the more you regret, the more your Laylatul Qadr is going to be worth. This Laylatul Qadr is the night of hasrat, is the night of regret, is the night to regret what you have done in the past year. This is the chance for you to regret it and to wish for your new year, to make your wishes for the new year. Regret what you have done in the past and wish for what you will have in the future. And in between this regret and wishes, between these regrets and wishes is going to be what your next year is going to be. It is going to decide what your next year is. Allah will decide how much you regret the past and how much you wish for the future. And the more you regret and the more you wish is how much Allah is willing to change your destiny and to make it a better place for you and a better time for you. Laylatul Qadr, my friends. This is Laylatul Qadr. Salawat wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now I want to speak about this hasrat, this regret that you should feel on Laylatul Qadr. How many of you have felt regret on Laylatul Qadr before? Sometimes, alhamdulillah, we have some people who felt regret, who felt hasrat. You know? How many of you have done that? You see, this, my friends, is what Laylatul Qadr is about. See, it's like mahshar. When you're in mahshar, you will have hasra. You will have that regret. That Allah, I only wish I had another chance. I would have done better. I made so many mistakes. I did so much wrong. I forgot so many things. I could have done so much good. I regret it now. But in mahshar, you're not coming back. But in Laylatul Qadr, Allah is saying, have this regret. So that the more you regret, the more Allah will want to do something for you. And let me here explain to you something, my friends. If you have done it wrong, how long do you have to regret for Allah to rectify it? How long does Allah... Meaning, for example, I have done something wrong. I have done a sin. I have sinned. So if I have sinned, how many years does it take for Allah to forgive you? Is 80 years enough? Let me read a hadith for you. Let me read this hadith for you so that you can learn from this hadith. It is said, لا يزال عبدي يبتهل إلي. He said, the longer my servant calls to me, cries for me, the longer he cries, you know, he extends his crying, Allah, I've done this wrong, and regretting. He's crying for Allah. La yazalu abdi yabtahilu ilayya. He cries for a long time, he extends his crying that Allah, I've done this wrong. Then what happens if he cries for a long time? Really, what happens if he cries for a long time? Listen to what Allah is saying. When you cry for a long time, what does Allah do? If you cry before Allah for what you have done wrong and regret what you have done wrong for a long time, you see when Adam, when he ate the apple, then years went by and he was crying to Allah and regretting what he had done, the wrong that he had done, he was regretting it. How long did it pass? So Allah, what will you do if I regret and if I made mistakes and I regret about it and I cry to you for a long time, what will I do? He says, لا يزال عبدي يبتهل إلي حتى أحبه. Let him cry so long until when he starts crying for such a long time, then I start to fall in love with him. I start falling in love with that abd, my servant. When he has this regret, when he starts crying, I fall in love with him. Allah, how long do we have to cry before you start falling in love with us? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 80 years. How long do we have to cry? Allah said, I'll make it easy for you. Yes, I want you to cry for 80 years. I want you to regret for 80 years. Allah, I don't know if I'm going to live for 80 years. I don't know if I'm going to live that long. What if I don't live that long and I die before that? He says, this is the reason I'm making Laylatul Qadr equal to 80 years. If you regret on Laylatul Qadr and cry to me on Laylatul Qadr, it's as if you have cried for 80 years, 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. It's as if you have regretted for 80 years. One night of Laylatul Qadr is 80 years. I'm saying 80, it's actually 83.33 years. And Allah, you, that 80 years of crying, is that enough for me? Yes, this is enough. This is what I want. My friends, Laylatul Qadr, if you cry to Allah and regret what you have done, it's as if you have cried to Allah for 80 years. And if you have cried for 80 years, Allah says, أَتَّأُحِبُّهُ, I will fall in love with him. I will fall in love with that person, that abd, that servant. I will fall in love with him. أَتَّأُحِبُّهُ. And then what? Allah, what happens if you fall in love with someone? The hadith goes on. What happens when you fall in love with someone? The hadith goes on and says, وَمَنْ أَحْبَبْتُهُ, and whoever I fall in love with, and whoever I love, he says like, what? كُنْتُ لَهُ سَمْعًا وَبَصَرًا وَيَدًا وَمُؤْدًا. If I fall in love with someone, then I become his listening. I become his seeing. I become his hands and I become his livelihood. كُنْتُ لَهُ سَمْعًا وَبَصَرًا وَيَدًا وَمُؤْدًا. This is what happens when Allah falls in love with someone, when Allah loves someone. What does it mean? He says, now I will manage your life. I will be your seeing. I will be your eyes. I will be your ears. I will be your hands. And I will be your livelihood. From now on, I will shape you and mold you the way I want to. I will shape you now. Because now I love you. You have regretted so long for what you have done. Now I will shape you. I will mold you. I will make you the way I like to. Do you understand this riwayat? On Laylatul Qadr, my friends. Understand this. What are we doing? When we ask for things, let me explain it. If you send me a loud response.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When we ask for things, what are we asking for? What are we asking Allah for? Allah, we want more rizq. We want to increase our rizq. We want to live longer. We want to have a house. We want to have a car. We want to own a land. We want to have better business. We want to do this. Allah is saying, what do you want this for? What do you want this for? Simple question. What do you want this for? You want more wealth for what? Allah, I just want $1 million. That's it. Right? Now, yeah, there's some people who try to be tricky, you know. They say, Allah, I don't need money and this and that. Just give me 6 numbers for the lottery, you know, that's all I ask. That's all I need, you know, that's it. Nothing from you, I'll get it from these guys, you know, I pay taxes here anyway. But what do we ask it for? Okay, Allah is saying, okay, you want money? Fine. My treasures are filled. And they are unlimited. I can give it to you. But why do you want this? Tell me. Why do you want that? For what? What do you want it for? Comfort? For happiness? You want it for that? Then ask me straight. Allah, okay, why are you asking me indirectly? You want money so that you can be happy. Why don't you just ask Allah, make me happy? I could have made you happy without the money. I could have made you happy. What are we asking for? Understand this, my friends. When we go on Laylatul Qadr, what we ask for, I'll tell you what we ask for. And I'll explain it to you. All we do on Laylatul Qadr is this. Allah, this is what I have done in the last year. This is my details. This is my particulars. These are the faults I have done. These are the things that I am. This is who I am. I am putting my portfolio in front of you. I am putting my portfolio in front of you, Allah. I am tired. I am tired of making decisions for myself and always doing things according to my jahalat and ignorance. Allah, I am putting this portfolio, my portfolio in front of you. I want you to now manage my life. Allah, manage my life for me. You be the one who shapes me. You be the one who owns me. And whatever then you give me, I will be happy with it. Whatever you give me, I will be happy with it. Whatever you give me. Because I know that when you are giving it to me, it will be much better than what I will give to myself. What you are going to make of me, it's going to be better than what I will make for myself. This is my friends. This is when you go before Allah, put it in front of Him. Laylatul Qadr comes, Allah, this is me. Now I'm giving it in your hands. You make the decisions. Tonight is the night that you're deciding my destiny for the coming year. So I'm telling you, Allah, here is me. I want you to make my destiny. I don't want to write down anything. You write it down for me. You write it down for me. You know how? I'll tell you. Wait, just an example I'll give you. You know this example. You know when the son of Fatima fell to the ground in Karbala, and he was lying on the ground, and in his last sajda, someone went close to him to hear what he was saying. What dua was he making? What was the dua he was making? Someone went close to him and they heard him say, Ridhan biqada'ik. Allah, I am satisfied with what you have given to me. Whatever you have given, I'm happy with it. I could have written it much better than you have. You have written it the best way that it could be for me. How can I not be happy when you have written this down for me? You wrote it down for me. How can I not be happy? I'm getting what you have given me, Allah. This is my friend's happiness. This is happiness. And then, on Laylatul Qadr, when you give it to Allah, then the next morning you wake up stress-free, worry-free. When you wake up the next day after Laylatul Qadr, after a long night, you slept, you were awake the whole night, you slept after morning prayers, and then you went and slept and you woke up, you can wake up without any stress and say, Allah, Alhamdulillah, I have given it over to Allah. Allah has written it down for me. Whatever I'm getting right now is not because Allah wants it for me. That's it. I'm not making any decisions. Let Allah make the decisions for me. Allah, you do what you want with me. You do what you want with me. And then if you are thrown in hell for that, if you go to hell for that, then in the hellfire, at least one thing you will be saying to Allah, Allah, what happened? You are the one who wrote this down for me. I put my trust in you. Allah is not that hard-hearted. Allah is not that merciless. And He's going to write it down for you, and then you have given that trust to Him that, Allah, you lead my life, you manage my life, you administer my life, and then He's going to throw you in hell. What did Imam Ali say in Dua Kumail? He said, Allah, when you see me in the hellfire, I will be calling out to you. I'll be calling out to you from there that I used to call you Rabb. I regarded you as my Rabb. I don't mind being in the hellfire, but what hurts me is being away from you. This, my friends, this is the attitude of Laylatul Qadr. This is the attitude. Allah, how do we do that? What do we do on Laylatul Qadr? What do we do when we have this? What do those who love you do? You know those who love you, those who are close to you? What do they do? I will do that. Whatever they do, I will do that. Allah says, now let me show you. Let me show you some examples of those who gave themselves up to me. Let me show you some examples and how Allah made it work for them. One such example He gives is Nabi Yusuf. Nabi Yusuf, He gives His example. And He says, I'm giving you this example because I like him. I give this example of Yusuf to you in detail. Why? Because I like him, I love him. I'm giving this example to you. Why do you love him, Allah? Because Yusuf gave himself to Allah and said, Allah, I am in your hand. You manage my life. You manage my life. Allah says, are you sure you want to trust me? He said, yes, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. So you manage my life. You want to manage my life? You want me to manage your life? I will. Okay, Yusuf, first of all, I will put you in that well so that you can be taken away as a slave. You'll be thrown in that well and you'll be taken as a slave. And Yusuf, you will be a slave of someone for many years. And Yusuf, you will be in prison for many years. Allah is writing his life story now. Yusuf is not writing his life story. Yusuf has left it in Allah's hand. Allah, now you decide for me. You decide for me. You know what is best. He went through slavery. He went through being in jail and prison. He went through all of that until he came and became the Aziz of Misr, the ruler of Egypt. And now you look at him as the Aziz of Misr, Allah. At the end, what is Yusuf saying? Allah, I am the same, whether I was a slave, I was your abd, whether I was in prison, I was your abd, whether I am the king, I'm still your abd. That has not changed, Allah. It is you who's writing my story, my life for me. This, my brother, is putting your trust in Allah and letting Allah write your story. I don't change if I become a king. I don't run away if I become a slave. I don't compromise if I become a prisoner. This is when you put your trust in Allah. Right? Look at the story of Noah. My friends, these stories when you read in the Quran, really, you know, the heart is shaken by these stories. Really, if that doesn't melt your heart to see those who loved Allah, what they wanted from Allah. What did they want from Allah? They wanted Allah that you administer my life. You lead my life. You make my life. You shape me into the person you want me to see to be. You want me to be. I want to be that. I want that. What you like of me. Look at the case of Musa. Look at the case of Musa. Allah loved Musa. So what did he do? He told his mother, throw him in the river. Throw him in the river. Tell me, my friends, this mother, an infant child, he can't swim, he can't even eat, he can't do anything for himself, he can't even defend himself. Did you imagine how his mother threw him in the river? Who did she trust? Who did she believe in when she threw him in the river? There were more chances of her protecting her son than the river. More chances of that. But you see that? She threw him in the river. Allah says, you did it. Now you see how I will write his story. You want me to write his destiny? Now you see how I write his destiny. That Musa who was going to be killed, who was supposed to be killed, who was labeled to be killed. The most wanted of Egypt. Right? Of Pharaoh's, you know, top 10 most wanted is Musa's name there. From that, you see, Allah said, you threw him in the river, now I will write the story, I will make him grow up in the same house that wants to kill him. See how I write my story. How I write your destiny. See how I plan. How I make plans for you. My friends, Allah is giving the examples for what? What is He giving these examples for? So that we understand this and say that, you know what? If I make choices in my life myself, if I want to do things myself, if I want to write my own life story, it will never be better than what Allah can write for me. Allah, you write this story for me. I want you to write it. And I will be in your trust. This, my friends, is that on Laylatul Qadr, when we're asking Allah, what are we asking Allah? You write my life story for me. Salawat. My friends, a lot of times we don't know what we love. We don't know what we like. In fact, we don't even know what love is. What do you want? Want money? Why? Because I love it. Do you really know what love is? Do you really know what you love? I just want something that I love. He said, it's a good idea, very good idea. But do you know what love is? Do you know what you really love? If you search to find something that you can love, understand what I'm saying? If you search to find something that you love, really love, truly love, in the true definition of what love is, if you right now in the 21st century in 2011, if you go around looking for something to love, the only place you will find love in the truest sense of the word is when you start loving the son of Fatima, Imam Mahdi. You want to fall in love, then fall in love with Mahdi. Fall in love with him. That is who you are looking for. You want that? Do you really want that? In Laylatul Qadr, say, Allah, I want that which I love the most. Allah is saying the one that you should love the most. And that is the only realistic term for love. The only love that you can find is my wali. If you want my wali, then I will give him to you. I'll give his love to you. Friends, ask Allah to increase your love for the most beloved. That's what you ask in Laylatul Qadr. This is what you want in Laylatul Qadr. Really, this is what we want in Laylatul Qadr. If you want to attach your heart to something, then attach it to Imam Mahdi. He is the one where you will find true happiness. That's what you want in Laylatul Qadr. It's Allah who destines what is going to happen in this year. We can ask Allah for anything on Laylatul Qadr. But what we should be asking for Allah is that you write down my destiny. I give myself to you. You write my history. I'm returning this blank paper to you and I want you to write down what is right for me. The only reason people don't do that is because they don't trust Allah. You know, they don't trust Allah. You know, you see, there are people who say that, you know what, I don't trust anyone but myself. I'm not going to give myself up to anyone. When it comes to Allah, I say, I don't trust you, Allah. You see, one of the signs of kufr, you know, kufr, one of the signs of kufr is what? Not trusting Allah is a sign of kufr. You don't, when you don't trust Allah, this is kufr. This is infidelity. Why? Because you're saying to Allah that Allah, really, I can't put my trust in you. Really, I don't trust you. You know, I'd rather do it myself. I don't trust what you're going to do to me. This is what happens. Well, of those people who don't want Allah to write it down, why are they doing that? It's because they don't trust Allah. They don't trust Allah. My friends, if we can trust, really, just make myself. If you want to do tawbah this past year, what you have done, I'll tell you one of the greatest sins we have done this past year. Many of us are committing this sin. If you want to do tawbah, we should do tawbah on Laylatul Qadr. If you want to do tawbah and repentance on Laylatul Qadr, repent to Allah for not trusting Ahlul Bayt. Allah, we haven't, you know, I don't trust them. I don't trust Imam Ali. I don't trust what he's doing. Repent to the fact that you have acted like those people who did not trust Imam Ali or Fatima. You know, when Fatima, I'll give you an example so you understand this. When Fatima when the right and the Khilafat of Ali was taken away from Ali, Fatima was going from house to house in Medina, knocking on the doors of people. Knocking on the doors of people to tell them the wrong they have done, the mistake they have made. She was knocking at the doors of people. And you know when she used to knock at the door, they said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm Fatima, bint Rasulullah." They said, "What do you want?" He said, "I came to talk to you about the right of Ali." This was a conversation that took place. Now, I will translate it for you. I will translate it so that you know what this means. Now, what did they say? They said, "What do you want?" They didn't open the door. They said, "What did you want?" And Fatima said, "I'm here for the right of Ali." In other words, if I can say in other words and translate what Fatima is saying, I am not a thief. I didn't come here as a thief. Really, I didn't come here as a thief. I came here for Ali's right. Are we like that to Ahlul Bayt? When they're knocking on our doors, we're telling them, "What do you want from us? What do you want from us?" Is this how we behave? We really repent for that we have not trusted Ahlul Bayt yet. You want to go in business with Imam Ali? You want to go in business with Imam Ali? He said, "Yes, I will go in business, but I want to write down a contract to make sure." To make sure of what? That he's not going to deceive you? Ali has signed an agreement with Allah. Isn't that enough for you that you want now? That you want to make an agreement with him so that you're afraid that he will deceive you? Understand this. Repent, because we haven't trusted Ahlul Bayt yet. We haven't trusted their words yet. This is what Laylatul Qadr is. This is what Laylatul Qadr is. And this is what we need to understand. What do we ask for in Laylatul Qadr? What do we repent for in Laylatul Qadr? These are things that we should repent for. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. The wisdom to understand His guidance. The instant reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. So. Just one thing, you know, we were late today, so I think inshallah tomorrow we can start to do the iftar a little bit earlier and start to at least start the speech by about 10 o'clock is good. And on the weekends we can always take 15 minutes more. But if we can start the speech around 10 o'clock, it will be good, so we can end at 10:30 inshallah.
All the children, please come forward and get handy, please. Thank you.